Take your Bibles, if you will, then with me, please, and we will run to the book of Proverbs and chapter number 26. Proverbs chapter 26. And I'm going to leave some of mine out so that I don't steal all of Brother Josh's thunder on that. But go ahead. All right. The verses, a couple of the verses that I chose are going to be some others may choose. But it's verses 4 and 5. I intentionally stayed away from the first. I think some will be like snow and in the summer and as rain and harvest. You got to think through that. As a burden by wandering, the swallow by flying. What was he trying to say? A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and so forth. But now verses 4 and 5, if you look at them, at the initial reading, they almost come across as a contradiction. Do they not? Let's look at it. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Verse number 5, very similar. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. All right, so the first phrase in both of those is almost identical. There's one word that's different. What's that one word? Not. Oh, wait a minute. One verse is saying, answer not a fool in his own folly. Next verse, answer a fool in his own folly. Why would he give that? Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. In my opinion, and it's probably not the best word to use, but it's just a word I came up with to kind of help me figure it out. So if you got one up here and one down here, and they're very similar, at least the first phrase is similar in both of them, okay, here is answer not a fool. Answer a fool, okay, according to his own folly, okay? They're similar except for that one word, not. So what's the differential? That's the word I came up with. What's the difference? What makes the difference if I'm to listen to the proverb and I start, okay, answer not a fool according to his, okay, I better just not answer that fool because his own judge. No, I'm not going to do that because the Bible says not to, okay? Or I read, answer a fool in his own, well, wait a minute, I better just always find the foolish people and start answering, you know, their foolishness. Okay? Well, there's some differentials in it. There's some things that make a difference. So if you'll notice what it says, answer not a fool according to his folly. There's the word, lest, L-E-S-T. All right, now, the lest begins to tell us that there's a consequence. So if there's a consequence, it's telling us, okay, if there's a consequence, and it says here, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest, and then the next word is essential, thou. Now it becomes personal. You'll notice in the second verse, he says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he. So one is saying that there's a condition, that if you're answering a fool according to his folly, lest he, or lest thou, also be like unto him. But then on the next one, it says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. So in one, the one at jeopardy is the one who is speaking from a wisdom standpoint. In the second one, the one who is in jeopardy is the one who is the foolish individual. So what is required here is that you have discernment. That's the heartbeat of what this is talking about. Because if you're not discerning, you're going to assume that you're wise only because you're wiser than the fool. But when his foolishness begins to make logical sense, then your wisdom begins to be questioned by yourself. And that's why he's saying here, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. When you and I understand, wait a minute, this is an area in which there's this individual who's just blabbing on and on and on, not about, well, I like NASCAR. No, I don't like NASCAR. Yes, I like bungee jumping. No, I don't like bungee jumping. It's not that kind of a thing. He's talking about foolish things that will deteriorate the Christian testimony or God's testimony. And if we're not careful and we're weak in the faith and we're not discerning, even as I was as a teenager, my best friend was, he and I just hit it off. When I went to the academy at Bob Jones, he was a year under me. I was a sophomore and he was a freshman. He was a town student. I lived in the dorms with the college guys. And so we just became best friends from then to this day. Just a great, great friendship. And David Morris is his name. My older son is named after him. But David and I, one summer, I went to see him in Russellville, Alabama. You've got to know where you're going to get to Russellville, Alabama. All right. But so anyway, David knew better, but he was dating and had been dating several years a young lady who was a Jehovah's Witness. Now we're talking about David was probably 16, 17 at the time. And boy, they were the thickest as whatever, just thought the world. And she knew he was a Christian and he knew that she was Jehovah's Witness. And I won't put you the whole story. We could go on and on and on. Long story short, David witnessed to her for 2 or 3 years. And she wouldn't get saved. I witnessed to her when I was there. She had actually come up with a family one time to Greenville. And I saw her in Greenville. But I got to know her real well in Russellville. I was there a time or two. And so she said, you know what I'll do? She said, if you'll come to my house, I'm going to have my preacher. And we'll sit down in the living room. And I'll listen to my preacher. And I'll listen to you when you talk about the Bible. And after we're finished, I'll believe whomever has the strongest points. Well, you know how two teenage guys are? We can do this. We got this. And so we did. We went over to her house. I've forgotten her name. We went over to her house, sat down, and here's two guys. We didn't know that one was the coordinator of Jehovah's Witness for the state of Alabama, and the other one was her pastor. And so we sat down, and she got up and walked out. She had no ambition of hearing us talk about the Lord. She wanted them to convince us of Jehovah's Witness. And so we go to Bob Jones Academy, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. We know all about it. And so they started taking my Bible. They didn't use mine, but it was a King James. And said, well, what about this verse? And what have you thought about this verse, Randy? David, what have you thought about this verse? Well, that's in contradiction to this verse over here. And we gave them some things too about hell and about Jesus and things that they couldn't answer. But they threw some questions at me. Now, it was probably a good thing. I mean, it really probably was because it made me go back to the Word, and I found out what they did. We won't go into all the detail of it, but it was probably a healthy thing for a young cocky kid that thought, I've got all the answers, to find out I don't have all the answers. But the Word of God does when you take it in context and when you don't misuse it, like in John chapter 1 and some other places. So here's the point, is that when what they're saying makes logical sense and I find myself vulnerable, and I could find my faith shipwrecked, then he is saying, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also. But he does say, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceits. There's plenty, even of Christians, who become arrogant. And even soul winning. I went with a man, I've told you before, I won't give it all because my time's gone already, but was arrogant in soul winning. Went to a certain place in Longview, Texas that taught a certain type of soul winning, that it's like selling shoes or something else, that you don't take no for an answer. And long story short, we were there at the door talking to a lady. She was very polite. It was one of these Arcadia doors in an apartment complex, and a sliding door. And she listened to him for a minute. She said, "Thank you, gentlemen, for coming. I hope you have a nice day. I'm really not interested." He wouldn't stop talking. He kept going. Brother L. He wouldn't stop talking at all. Just not stop talking. She said, "Friend, I'm really need to get back in home and take care of what's going on in my house." And he wouldn't stop talking. And he just kept talking. She said, "Now, I've tried to be polite, and I'm asking you to please leave." And he wouldn't stop talking. So she just reached up to close the Arcadia door, and he put his foot in the door. Okay? And I got a hold of him, and I was there, you know, just with him. And I said, "Brother L., this isn't right. We need to leave." Now, that's what we're talking about here. Now, a lot of times it's talking about pride in other areas, but there's no shortage of pride among Christians, and Randy Bray can become that way in a skinny minute if I don't keep an eye on it. And all of us are that way. Amen or no? Yeah. And so that's where we have to have that kind of discernment of when to answer and when not to answer. When answering a fool is going to make it look like I'm just trying to debate someone, and those who are listening looks like I'm trying to be the last man standing, okay, then my testimony is compromised. So I have to have the discernment from the Lord as to when to do that. So I wish, I may try to see if I can be in here with Brother Josh so that he can take it from a different angle, and he probably is, but I had quite a bit more, but wouldn't have had time to do it anyway. So hope that'll be a blessing, but it's just the whole point is exercising discernment. We need it for everyday life. This happens to be dealing with foolish folks, but we need it in everyday life. And where discernment come from? It comes from studying the Word of God and listening to the Holy Spirit, and then experientially having the Holy Spirit walk us through the circumstances of life.